Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to be registered with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And then John's Gospel in the third chapter, in just one verse, which you will all know, I am sure. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Amen. This is God's word for us this evening. In her memoirs, a lady called Mary Ann Bird writes this account. She says, I grew up knowing I was different and I hated it. I was born with a cleft palate, and when I started school, my classmates made it clear to me how I looked to others. A little girl with a misshapen lip, crooked nose, lopsided teeth, and garbled speech. When classmates asked what happened to me, to my lip, I'd tell them that I'd fallen and cut it on a piece of glass. Somehow it seemed to be more acceptable to have suffered an accident than to have been born different. I was convinced that no one outside my family could love me. There was, however, a teacher in my second grade whom we all adored. Mrs. Leonard was her name. She was short, round, happy, a sparkling lady. Annually, we had a hearing test, and Mrs. Leonard gave the test to everyone in the class. And finally, it was my turn, writes this lady. I knew from past years that as we stood against the door and covered one ear, the teacher sitting at our desk would whisper something and we would have to repeat it back. Things like, the sky is blue, or do you have new shoes? I waited there for those words. Those words that God must have put in her mouth that day. Those seven words that changed my life. Mrs. Leonard said, in her whisper, I wish you were my little girl. God says to every person in this room, every person in this world, every person deformed by sin, God says at Christmas and all year through, I wish you were my daughter. I wish you were my son. Mary Ann Bird longed for love and acceptance, and she found it in the words of her teacher. Each of us looks for love and acceptance as well. And tonight I just want to share for a few minutes about God and his gift of love. This Advent season here in the church, we've been journeying through the Christmas gift. We've looked at the gift of hope as we saw how an older, childless couple who persistently prayed to God for a child eventually had a child of their own. We remembered how Zechariah, the husband, was told the news that his wife, Elizabeth, was going to bear him a son and he would be the forerunner for the Lord Jesus. The hope was there for a nation too, that a Messiah was coming. Then we thought on the gift of peace and saw how an angel came to Mary and to Joseph separately to calm their minds, to calm their spirits after they heard that Mary was to be with child. And they knew that this child was to be named Jesus, for he would save his people from their sin. And yesterday we thought on the gift of joy as the shepherds, ordinary, hard-working men, received a visit from some angels and received some good news of great joy. And they went to see the baby, and so filled with joy were they on seeing the child that they went sharing the good news with everyone else. Tonight, we come to think on the gift of love. And God says to you and to me tonight, He says, I love you. I love you. Tonight we come to read of the birth of the Saviour of the world and what that means for you and for me. And the key verse is that last one I read. That verse, I am sure, is the most loved and most well-known verse in all of Scripture. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. In that one verse, we begin to realize what the Christmas story is all about. It's the story of a gift of love to the world. He is the one whom Isaiah would refer to and did refer to as a child born to us, a son that's given to us. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And that gift of love is the one of whom Joseph heard the angel say in his dream, she will give birth to a son and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sin. God's gift of love that first Christmas was for each one of us. We think on the source of that love. Where does it come from? The source of love, as we've already said, is God. John puts it so well in that wonderful verse, God so loved. God, the creator and sustainer of the world. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, the one and only. The God, as Anne Graham Lotz puts it in one of her books, putting it to the alphabet, the God who is able, benevolent, compassionate, dependable, eternal, faithful, good, holy, immortal, just, kind, loving, merciful, near, omniscient, powerful, quick, right, sufficient, truthful, unique, victorious, wise, and then she gets a little bit caught up, X, Y, Z altered right at the end. He is the source of love. The one who made us in His image loves us. The one who watched us mar that image and sin against Him loves us. And we're not talking of human love that's biased and is often impure in its motives. Human love is selfish, usually given out on the basis of what we might receive in return. But God's love isn't like that at all. His love is always pure, always holy, always seeking what is best for the object that it loves, always seeking what is best for you and for me. His love is given freely without the hope or the desire of anything returns. God loves because He is love. His love is never ending, says Jeremiah in the Old Testament. His love is always given first, says John in one of his letters later on towards the end of the Bible. His love is precious beyond words. God so loved. He's a source of love because He is love. But what about the scope of His love? How far does it reach? Who is it for? Well, that verse continues, doesn't it? For God so loved the world. The word so, by the way, indicates the depth of His love. It describes the manner of His love for fallen man and woman. It's a deep love that motivated Him to send His Son into the world, that motivated Him to allow that child to be born. This is uncommon love. This is God's love. By His very definition, it's a love that's no ordinary love. It's a special love that seeks to give itself away on behalf of you and me. Of course, this shouldn't surprise us after all. To love is the very nature of God. Notice the object of God's love though. The world. The Greek is cosmos. This means all of humanity. No one is exempt from God's love. God's desire is to share His love on all of His creation. Friends, regardless of the curveballs that may be delivered to us, regardless of the hits that we might take in life, you need to know tonight that God loves you. No one's beyond the scope of God's love. It's for every single person. The greatest thought to grip the human mind is this. And I'm sure you'll allow me to sing for a moment. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. The greatest love. Do you know, one of the greatest theologians of the last century was a guy called Carol Barth. And he was sitting down one day later on in his life and he was really struggling with his health. And a whole room full of students were there before him, and they were desperate to quiz him, to ask him of all his years of study and all of his experience and all of his reading the Bible and all of his thinking and writing on it, what was the greatest thing he could share with them? And he shared those very words of that song, and he said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. There is nothing more important. And the second greatest thought is this. There is nothing you can do to make him stop loving you. Pick up your Bible and read it. Romans 8 and 38 reminds us of the fact that there is nothing we can do. A guy called Phil Yancey wrote a book probably about 10 or 12 or 15 years ago now. And in the book he says this. He says there is nothing that we can do to make God love us more. And there's nothing we can do to make God love us less. Because God already loves us as much as an infinitely loving God can. The scope of God's love is every single person on earth, from the youngest to the very oldest. And I believe that's seen in the how and the where of the birth of Jesus. It's seen as Mary and Joseph made their way to Bethlehem for that census, to Joseph's hometown. We read in Luke's Gospel, as we read earlier, that a census was called for everyone had to go home. The ruling authorities wanted to know how many people were there so they could count them up and tick them off and raise more money from them. This, of course, was fulfilling all that God had said in the Old Testament through prophets hundreds of years before. Bethlehem was a busy place. As Mary and Joseph got there, there was no room left for them. They searched everywhere. A kind innkeeper allowed them to stay in his stable, and it was there that Jesus was born, wrapped in cloths, laid to sleep in a feeding trough, an animal's feeding trough. Why a stable? Well, I think it was a stable so that Jesus, the babe, was accessible to lowly, ordinary people, just like you and like me. You know, if he had been born in a palace, then only the rich or the influential would ever have got to go and visit him. But here in the stable, everyone is welcome. Hence why the first guests, as you read on, are the shepherds who were out on their hillsides tending their sheep and who came. God's love is for everyone, from the least to the greatest and everything in between. The source of love is God. The scope of love is everyone. But what about a word that we don't often talk about? Sacrifice. Sacrifice. For you see, no talk on love, no talk on God's love is complete without it. For God so loved the world that he gave. That he gave his one and only Son. Because God loved us, he gave all that he could. He gave the most precious gift that he could. He gave his own Son. God allowed his Son to leave behind the glories of heaven, to take on weak, frail human flesh, to live amongst us. He allowed his Son to be born as a babe in the manger, to sleep there. He allowed the first visitors to be those hard-working, ordinary shepherds. He allowed his Son to grow and to wander across the earth with no place to call his home. He allowed his Son to go and to die on a cross, all because he loves us. Sacrifice. Giving up for the sake of others. God gave his own Son. The true value of love lies in what love is willing to give to the object it loves. You see, God's love isn't static. It's not self-centered. His love just doesn't sit quietly by while men and women drop off into hell. His love prompted him to do something about it. Many love, like a man who called his girlfriend in the telephone one day and said, "Darling, I love you." Maybe you've had a boyfriend like this, or you've got a husband like this, I don't know. "Darling, I love you. I would cross the burning sands for you. I would fight a jungle full of lions for you. I would brave anything just to be with you because I love you." and hey, if it doesn't rain tonight, I'll pop over and see you later on. God's love isn't like that. God's love is seen in the gracious gift of his Son, Jesus, on the cross of Calvary. The death of Jesus Christ for sinners is the greatest, most visible, and the absolute final word concerning God's love for you and for me. Look no further. You know, it might seem strange tonight to talk of love in the terms of this verse during an Advent season, but it's because of God's great love for us that we celebrate Christmas. Since God loved his creation, he gave us what Paul describes as the indescribable gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This Christmas, as you celebrate with family and with friends, as you hear many words talked about and shared, I wonder if you would remember the word love, and you would remember the source, the scope, and the sacrifice of love. God is love. He loves all that he has made. And he longs that all would worship his Son, the Son he sacrificially gave to save and to redeem us. This Christmas, friends, God's gift of love to the world and God's gift of love for you. Celebrate it. Remember it. Among all the Christmas gifts you receive this year, remember the gift from God, his own Son, Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your gracious love for each one of us. We thank you for all the joy that we celebrate at this time of year. We thank you for all the gifts that we get. But Lord, we thank you above everything for the gift of your Son, our Saviour. We thank you for the gift of love to the world. We thank you and we praise you. Help us as we celebrate Christmas in this coming day not to forget you. Not to forget you in the hustle and bustle, not to forget you in all of the food and the preparations for it and the eating then of it, not to forget you in the fun and the games afterwards, but Lord, above everything, to remember your gift of love and to worship you, to thank you and to praise you for it. We thank you for Jesus this Christmas. Help us to celebrate him. Hear our prayers. Continue with us as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.